everyone, and welcome to another amazing night of Fandom Access. I'm your own faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations, and Karen is already here. Hello, Karen.
Hi.
Karen. Hi.
Hey, sorry, can you hear me now? Hello?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Oh, you're coming through on my computer. Hang on, I have feedback here.
Hi.
Karen.
From the laptop.
Hi.
Hey, sorry, can you hear me now? Hello?
Yeah. There. Hi. Sorry about that.
Wow, now I was like, what the hell?
There's a lag on the laptop. It's like 10 seconds behind our conversation.
I know.
Anyway,
I
hi. Yeah. It's just you. Is Jamie going to be here for only briefly, right?
I think she said she wasn't going to make it at all the last text that I understood from her. So
okay.
She pops in and we'll let her. She just wanted us to mention that she's going to see Midnight Texas.
She's going to the set, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for her. So. All right. Okay. So that leaves us with a pretty short show tonight. Not a lot to talk about. Even if we were all going to be here.
All we've got is Castle Rock. Before we start that, though, there was something that I read, which I thought was really very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It was called The Reason The Walking Dead Did Not Make the Top 100 Shows on TV Right Now. And
like,
I thought
didn't
it was
make,
interesting
like,
because,
critics lists? It's definitely
like,
one of
like
the top 100 shows on.
List, yeah.
Yeah.
But no. Top 100 best shows on TV. Not the number one rated or anything that, like good television. Number 100 good shows on TV. The Walking Dead did not make the list. Because, the article starts out with, like, you know, Frank Darabont did an amazing job bringing us, the first season of The Walking Dead. Unfortunately, he was asked to leave after the first season because he brought, the show changed after he left. This is the critic that wrote its opinion. And they said, it's not necessarily that The Walking Dead has gotten worse, although it's not as good as it used to be, but there's 100 other shows that are better. So it just kind of, the reason I got a kick out of it was because it just kind of goes to show, we talk a lot about, the best shows that nobody's watching, like The Americans. The Americans had decent ratings, but they didn't have Walking Dead ratings. And I think the worst season of Americans was better than the best season of The Walking Dead. So it just goes to show that just because people are watching something doesn't mean it's good. perfect example, The Bachelor. How many people watch that stupid show? The numbers are astronomical. Doesn't make it a good show.
So
I just thought it was interesting that The Walking Dead didn't make it, even though it's one of the number one rated shows on TV. It doesn't.
So where did you read this article? Do you remember?
TV.com. Yeah, it was on TV.com.
Oh, and did they talk about, they talked about critically why they think The Walking Dead is not a good program.
They said it's not that The Walking Dead has gotten worse, but other shows have gotten better.
Oh, okay. So
like,
it's been eclipsed by Bill.
It's kind of like, exactly. It's like The Walking Dead has stayed the same throughout. Like, every season it's the same story. How do you survive?
Right.
How do you stay human? It's different arcs, but they're all the same ultimate story.
Mm-hmm.
Is what they're saying.
Yeah.
And other shows are surpassing it by going above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it's one faction's opinion. Might read another article says it's the number one show ever, But it I just found that interesting because, it kind of leads credence to, stuff that we've said, we lost Dark Matter. Because the ratings compared to the budget weren't feasible. we both felt it's a superior show to Killjoys, but Killjoys isn't as expensive to make, apparently.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap. Okay. Well, that's really interesting.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
So, but I do get a kick out of it. Anyway, and I might have something more to say about The Walking Dead later, since we're not really covering
it. Well,
did
you want to talk about Fear or any of your other shows while with Jamie not being here, or did you just want to go right into
Well,
that?
So Fear the Walking Dead, briefly, I still think it's a better program than Walking Dead. And I'll reiterate what I said last week, was that they're embarking on a storyline that makes me a little nervous, which is a storyline of there's a bad person that they're going to have to confront and deal with. And I'm a little nervous because that has been the Walking Dead's constant churn in the Scott Gimple years, is that every season or even half season, there's a horrible, crazy person, one more demented than the next, that, poses a threat and they have to combat. And it's sort of The Walking Dead's really gotten away from any aspect of survival other than, there's a new crazy person all the time. And I'm a little worried about Fear the Walking Dead, doing that again this season so soon. They are exploring some ideas about, being a good person and helping people should you help people you don't know, kind of a thing. They do have a little more to say and think about. And they have some really good acting on Fear. So I like it, but I'm just really worried, are they going to go down this road, especially under Gimple now, I think that, Jamie and I could talk about Wynonna and Killjoys when she gets back. I think, Wynonna Earp has a storyline that we both are not really, there's a vampire storyline that we're both kind of not into. And there's a love triangle where two of the people don't really, to me, the characters don't have a lot of chemistry together. So that's a little, I guess all of these shows are just problematic right now. And which, we're deep into the season and it happens. But all these shows are a little problematic. I don't want to belabor them without Jamie here or you to have to, listen. They're all having their season finale soon. I guess Wynonna and Killjoy should both really be nearing their season finale. I don't know where Fear is right now. It's a short season also. And Walking Dead's back
Castle
October
Rock,
8th, so. And
Castle
Rock
ends
next week.
Is tomorrow.
Yep.
And tomorrow.
Yeah. So I guess maybe Jamie's not going to pop in, so let's just jump into it. All Jamie was going to announce was her trip to the set of Midnight Texas, and that she will have she'll have some stories on sci-fi, on scifivision.com probably next week, I guess.
Yeah, it was funny. I was confused by her one text, so I even said, "I'm confused by your text. What?" And she clarified.
Yeah.
And said, just mentioned that I'm going to the set of Midnight Texas. And that Nestor Carbonell apparently has joined the cast. I don't know how many episodes he's going to be in, but our lovely Richard Alpert from Lost.
Yeah.
So,
not
enough for
me to
watch
Midnight Texas
again. Maybe he can help it. Again, but,
yes. I know, right? Joe has more problems than just needing a good actor. So, all right. Well, then let's just jump into Castle Rock, which was a huge episode this week.
Bam. Holy crap. Was it a special episode this week? How long did it take you to figure out that our mystery person is Henry Deaver?
Well, I mean, he, not very long, because he says right away who he, I mean, he says that very, very early in the episode, right? I mean, you learn that his name is Henry Deaver. I have to say, so I guess we'll get deeper into this episode about what we think is going on here, but it's alternate dimensions or alternate timelines kind of thing, right?
Alternate realities.
And I have to say, I'd never considered that in the last 8 episodes prior to this. I was way more hung up on this idea of is the kid the devil, or is he an evil presence? Is he a, you know, or he could be good, but it never occurred to me that he's from an alternate Castle Rock and an alternate timeline, and that he, you know, and they show the scene where he gets out of the hole, and they say, "What's your name?" And he says, "Henry Matthew Deaver." He does say it. I do remember that, and they flashed it back for us. But we had previously seen Lacey say to him, "When they find you, ask for Henry Michael." He says, "Ask for Henry Michael Deaver," right? He doesn't say, "Tell them your name."
I think he says, "Ask for."
So it never occurred to me that he was giving his own name, but that he was asking for Henry Matthew Deaver, as he had been. So it kind of blew me away. I'd say I caught on rather quickly, and I texted you while I was watching it this evening that we were looking at a different timeline, a different dimension or whatever, where this was a different Henry. But there's a lot of it I had forgotten, a lot of like throwaway things. I had forgotten that our version, so Henry number one, the Henry that we know, he does mention at some point. Okay, Henry Prime and Alt Henry or whatever. So Henry Prime, I remember now that a couple episodes ago he tells his son that he was adopted because Ruth and Matthew had lost a baby. They had a stillborn baby, and that's when they decided to adopt. I didn't really remember that until I'm like, oh wait, now he lived and he's grown up, and yeah, I didn't see it coming. I it's not very scary. It's by far a less horror-y explanation of what's going on here, right? More sci-fi than horror, but we like sci-fi, so that's okay with me. I thought it was good. I thought it was really like really twisty and really good, and it pulled together a lot of stuff that maybe I had discounted or not noticed.
Something before I forget. When he gets back to Castle Rock, there's a store that he walks past called the Emporium Glorium, which is a shop in it's the setting for one of his short stories in Four Cross Midnight called The Sun Dog. So I thought that was a nice little, that was another little Easter egg there.
I didn't know that until I read online, like some bigger Stephen King fans than I, like you are, noticed that stuff. There's also an ice cream shop called like the Claiborne Creamery, which is maybe a shout out to Dolores Claiborne. There's all these little like Easter eggs for all of you like hardcore Stephen King people in there, right? Yeah. So how long did it take you to catch on that he was Alt Henry and what was going on here?
I figured it out. You know, I don't remember the exact moment, but I remember turning to Alyssa and going, is he Henry? Because it was weird, because I think the thing that caught me was on the phone, it said M, and I knew I remember – Henry's wife's name, Henry Prime's wife's name, started with an M also. So that, that was kind of the moment I was kind of like, wait, is this Henry? I'm like, something weird's going on here. And then, you know, I figured it out. I know I figured it out before it was established, but I don't remember at what point it was exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when Pangborn calls and he says, "How's my mother?" is the ultimate. That's the total confirmation of what we're suspecting.
Yeah.
Prior
to, but you know, so once I figured out that he was Henry, that's when I started going, okay. So when we see Rose die in last week's episode, and he tells her, "You died out there."
Yeah.
I was like, "This Rose,
he tells
this
Molly,
Rose is gonna
yeah.
die." I'm like, those 11 days that Henry was gone, I have a feeling it was a lot more than 11 days. I have a feeling that he was over here. And then I kind of figured out exactly where the story was going pretty much once I realized that he was Henry. And I thought it was interesting that his father committed suicide in this timeline, whereas Lacey's the one that committed suicide in the other timeline. So both people that caged up the alternate Henry committed suicide eventually after, now we don't know but I'm going to assume that Henry Prime was over in the alternate reality for 27 years.
Yes, I think it's established that it's 27 years.
Was it?
So, yes, because he's got all the tapes, and it goes up to week number 1,400 and whatever.
I didn't do the math.
Yeah, he's had the kid for 1,400 weeks, so like I didn't really do the math in my head immediately, but that's decades, right? There's 52 weeks in a year, so
yeah.
I was like, well, shit, 500 weeks is 10 years, so it's 27 years, or it's close to 30 years. 1,500 and, you know, 6 would be 30 years, so that's how the tape upon tape upon tape is when you start to get the clue that he's been in there for 27 years and hasn't aged, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's so trippy that, like, wait a minute, they're both held for 27 years, but they come back I mean, Henry Prime was held for 27 years, and the day he came back is basically the day that all Henry's 27 years begins.
Right.
Or within a couple of days. He's not maybe captured that day by Lacey, but within a couple of days.
Yeah, I was actually expecting to see Lacey capture him.
What? Yeah, we didn't see. We've seen that before in flashback when he had him in the trunk of the car flashback.
We saw him in the trunk of the car. Right, but I thought,
yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, we know he captures him, but I thought we were going to actually see the moment since we were switching over. So.
Well, I imagine
and
it
I,
as
I,
not so much as being not so much as an abduction, but I wonder. I imagine it as though he had probably approached Lacey for help, much the way that Henry approached his father, right, for help, and was instead drugged and imprisoned.
Not the way Lacey tells it. Lacey says in his monologue, "God, when God spoke to me, he told me where he'd be." So. You know, the voice, whatever that they are assuming is God, told him ultimate Henry would be.
Right. So Lacey heard the schisma, maybe, right?
Yeah.
Like the schisma.
And I don't think the schisma is what they think it is.
No, well, they say it's the voice of God, but do you remember a couple weeks ago when that deaf guy had the young kid translating for him, and he says...
Right.
Something like that the schisma is the sound of the universe trying to reconcile alternate realities or something like that, he says.
Right.
So I would like to know, I have never read The Dark Tower, but a lot has been commenting the ways in which this has a lot in common with The Dark Tower, which I guess deals in alternate versions of alternate dimensions or whatever, I guess. Did you see?
Well, The Dark Tower, I can see where they're going to make the assumptions. Dark Tower doesn't deal in alternate realities. The Dark Tower, it kind of does, but it's not. I could see where they'd make the connection just because in the Dark Tower, Tad Beaumont has a pseudonym that he's been writing under, and he's writing under the pseudonym, and when they try to put the pseudonym to bed, because somebody finds out his identity, and he decides to get ahead of it and reveal the fact that he's this really famous author, and so they go through this whole press promo thing, and they bury the pseudonym. Well, the pseudonym didn't like the fact that he was put to rest, so he comes to life and wrecks havoc.
Okay. So, not really related, but
no.
I guess there are similarities there.
I could see where people would try and make similarities, but not really.
Okay.
So.
So what do you think about the whole part where, so there's a place in the woods where they hear the voice of God or they hear the schisma. And what we see in this episode, I took to kind of be that they were seeing, they can like see through to other dimensions, or people that hear the schisma are drawn, like they see the woman who, the cannibal woman, right? The woman in like the pioneer in like the pilgrimy kind of dress. Is the girl who ate her own family, right? Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's good. The Ghost of Castle Rock, yeah. But she is a person who, she's the one that ate her own family. That is referenced in the beginning, Matthew's monologue in the beginning, where he's saying all these horrible things happen here, right? And then we see, like, a person committing suicide. So we see all these Ghosts of Castle Rock, yeah. So those are, like, I think they're, like, people who can I don't know if you need a special ability to cross over or you just can get drawn in. Like Alt Henry has never heard the voice of God, believes his father to be in a job, got away from him or whatever. And it's when he touches Molly that I feel like is when he can see through to the other side. I don't think he has an ability. I think it was when he touched Molly, Molly pulled him over, just as when Molly has abilities to see things that Henry sees. I don't know. I'm not sure I really get it. I'm still thinking it through as I talk to you, I guess.
I think it's one of those things that's not really definitive. I think it's kind of one of those things that just is, maybe. I mean, it could be Molly. It could be whatever. What was I going to say? So something I was thinking about, though, because this whole time what we thought he was the devil in the beginning and everything, and we weren't really sure what his deal was, we were saying that everybody that touches him seems to kind of lose their mind and either go on a killing spree or commit suicide. So now knowing who he is and what the deal is, I thought about it. I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't make complete sense anymore. I'm like, so then I started thinking about it. I'm like, all right, it still has to do something with touch because they clearly focused on it. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe because he's from an alternate reality, being out of place, out of time, out of whatever you want to call it, the touching is still a factor because it screws people up because they're being touched by somebody that shouldn't even be there.
Right. Right. Person's from the other side. Or another side, maybe not the other. Not there. I don't think there's one other side. I think it's there's many sides or whatever. I don't know. I don't even know what to say about that. So one of the issues I have with this is I have no idea how they're going to wrap it up in one episode. This is supposed to be an anthology and supposed to be completely wrapped up next week, right?
I think this episode went a long way to wrapping that up.
I do think that this episode felt more J.J. Abrams than Stephen King. Had a lot in common with Lost in a lot of ways. It had something in common with sort of the Flash sideways aspect. It had a lot in common with the work of Stephen King I think has a lot of like people who are doubles kind of, but you know, the part of Lost near the end in the final episode where people were sort of like alternate versions of themselves until they could remember where they came from and who they really were. And just a bunch, it just felt really more sci-fi and Losty than, maybe not exactly like Lost, but JJ-ish more than King-ish. I'm not sure I'm watching a horror story anymore.
Well, it's not really, I mean, you know, it's a comic.
Which is fine.
Everybody hears Stephen King, like, automatically, like, oh, it's horror.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily the case. I mean, that's the thing you have to remember. I mean, King's an executive producer, and of course, he's giving input. But it's just, you know, its characters were familiar with from Stephen King's story set in his most popular town, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be different, but still edgy and creepy at the same time. I mean, you know, a lot of his best work is more creepy than it is scary, you know? And this, up to this point, has been extremely creepy, and now we've flipped over to the sci-fi side of it.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. This episode now really messes with my understanding of I forget the name of this episode, but basically the one that was all Sissy Spacek, where at the end, you know, when Sissy Spacek, when Ruth kills Pangborn, where, you know, as when I watched that episode, I really felt that the kid had manipulated her and egged her on, and tricked her into killing the man she loved. And now I'm not sure what I really saw in that episode or what really, like, because my understanding from this week is that Henry really did love his mother and would not do that to her. And
he likes Alan.
And he likes Alan, yeah, and he likes Alan. So I don't understand, like, it. The way I understood the episode was that he really, like, egged her on and goaded her. Now, do I have to rethink that episode as though I really, what I was watching, I saw through Ruth's eyes, through her Alzheimer's brain and not understanding saw?
Well, I think that's part of it. I mean, that was exactly what it was. We saw the Alzheimer's side of everything. I mean, she even sees alternate Henry as thinking that she's seeing Matthew.
Matthew, yeah. Yeah. and this is a woman who would not recognize Alt Henry because she never had that baby. I just, in that whole episode, Henry acted so creepy and weird and dangerous and menacing, right? And now, in this episode,
I think part of it is, I think he's still putting the pieces together himself. Like, we don't know at what point he started to remember who he is. I know he knows who he is when he's talking to, what's her face?
Molly.
Actually, and even before that, because when he's talking to Henry Prime, he says we have to protect her, which is why he's going to let the police think that he killed Alan, you know? So he clearly knows who he is at that point. You know, I'm not sure exactly what point it all comes clear to him, and he, you know, because, I mean, he even says Henry's not ready yet. And I think he's going to need Henry and Molly to get back over to the other side.
Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff that he has said, like, he said, at one point he said to Henry or to Molly, he said, you have no idea what's really going on here, which was one of my first inklings several weeks ago that, okay, maybe he's not the devil, I know, is when we first started to think about that. But and I guess if you were kept in a basement in solitary for 27 years and the only person you could talk to was Lacey, like, who kept your fingernails in a bucket, like, clearly you would be mentally messed up, right? And young Henry is, young Henry Prime is sort of messed up. He has to wear sunglasses because he hasn't seen, like, daylight for 27 years or whatever. So I get that he would be messed up and maybe not able to relate to people and Ruth that much. I don't know. I just... That one episode is a little problematic to me in light of what we saw tonight. And maybe
maybe it'll be clear. It might get a little clearer to us in the finale, but I agree. It is a little...
Yeah. Because I feel like each episode I feel like each episode we're seeing as an outside observer and not through a character's lens. And then maybe that episode we saw through Ruth's perspective a little more. I don't know. I just don't buy that he would, like, torture her into killing the Pangborn. Not torture her, but, you know, trick her and torment her or whatever. I also have maybe a new... Do you remember the scene where the kid goes to those people's house and they're having a birthday party for their kid, and then they get in like a violent fight, and basically practically like, you know, they start getting in a violent fight. And remember we talked about when was that happening, because they were playing a song on like a 45 record player, and it was like a Shirley
Temple
song. Yeah, I'm
not sure
song,
what to make of that now. Yeah, I did think about that during the episode. I'm thinking, what the hell was that?
Yeah, like, can he see alternate things? All the so there's
maybe
one other thing.
Remembering something. Maybe that was him remembering something that happened in his timeline that he knew about.
Yeah.
As his memories were coming back.
Yeah.
Just a random memory.
Yeah.
But things like that are a little.
So I think there's like maybe a pattern or a cycle of how these things, like when the dimensions are close together. And so maybe he can see other things. Yeah, I don't know. But there was also in the episode where he says, you don't know what's really going on here. I think it's the same episode. There's a point where the kid says, I think it's when he first gets out of jail, when Henry Prime first gets the kid out of Shawshank, and he says something like, has it started yet? Or it's starting, or has it started yet? And watching this week's episode and thinking of that, I'm wondering if there's some, like, does he have an opportunity to go back through? Like, is it once every 27 years that these things happen, that the window's open or that the schism's there? And, like, are we going to see next week Henry, is it going to be a happy ending where the Henrys work together so the kid can go back home and be all ten?
Right.
Or is that really not how Stephen King stories don't tend to have happy endings, in my experience.
They have,
right?
They have bittersweet endings. They have bittersweet endings. People survive, but it's not always a happy ending necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, or it could be something like, did you watch 11/22/63, the other Stephen King adaptation on Hulu? So do you remember how, like, every time James Franco, every time he fails to prevent the Kennedy assassination and he comes home, nothing has ever changed. And the one time he finally prevents the Kennedy assassination, he comes home and the future, like, he comes home and it's all, like, very dystopian, apocalyptic kind of setting when he gets back, right?
Yep.
And so I'm thinking of that, like, resetting the timeline or going back is maybe not going to be good. Like, maybe Henry can't go back, right? Maybe the two Henrys have to, I don't know, they can't, I don't know if they can exist in the same dimension, because one shouldn't be there, right?
Right. But I don't think Alt Henry going back, he's going to go back, even though he's been here for, you know, 27 years, he's going to go back maybe 11 days later, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be that exact, but...
Yeah, it might just be a few days, might not be very long.
Yeah.
And nothing would really change, and he could, like...
Henry Prime was gone for a long time, and he was gone 11 days.
And maybe have no memory. Like, Henry Prime came back and not only has no memory of the 11 days, but he has no memory of anything that happened before the day he was found. Like, Henry's memory was completely wiped of his entire childhood until the day that Sheriff Pangborn found him on the ice. So does Henry go back, but he's forgotten everything?
That's the thing.
And then your life goes on a different track, right? Like, in one, well, I mean, they're different people. They're not alternate versions of the same person.
Yeah.
They are different people with the same name because the same mother named them.
Yeah.
But they're not like Howard and Counterpart, where they're two versions of the same man.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah. So... Yeah, I mean, so it was great, right? It was great because it fooled both of us, which is a rare, I mean, it fooled everyone.
Yeah,
I don't know anyone who would have predicted that.
Nobody,
I don't think.
No. Everything I've read, I haven't read any theory that he was from an alternate universe.
I think
we had the timey-wimey stuff, and I think everybody really bit into the some sort of demon or Satan, some kind of evil,
Yeah.
Everybody really jumped into that and believed it.
Because we bought into Lacey saying it, and then Pangborn bought into Lacey saying it, and so we bought in right along with when Pangborn was like, yeah, I'm not really sure, but why not? I believed him, and so, and Pangborn was like the good guy in this
exactly. And that's
show.
The thing, and I think that was intentionally done. That was intentionally done by the writers, which was brilliant, because for any Stephen King fan, you trust Pangborn, period. You don't question him. If Pangborn says the guy is evil, he's evil. No, we never consider the fact that Pangborn might be getting duped himself.
Yeah.
And even if
you're not familiar with him as that character in Stephen King, they set him up as a devoted husband to Ruth or devote, he's been in love with her his entire life. He's a good man. He's the guy who found Henry. He understood it. Every aspect of him has been as a good guy. Now this is making me think, why did the kid tell Pangborn to go and get Lacey's car and that he needed this, to help Ruth and, what does that have to do with anything?
I'm wondering, he says it's going to be a monument to all the people. Two things. One, I'm wondering if he even knew who the hell he was at that point. Two, I think it could be that he believes the car might be needed to get him back.
Right.
Or something. Maybe,
he has to go
maybe he connects the
back
car.
The way he came.
Yeah, exactly. The car has something to do with him getting back. It could have nothing to do with anything. He's grasping at straws. It could have been something he gave Pangborn to do to get him the hell out of the way for a minute. Who the hell knows? I think, a lot of this is going to get cleared up in the next hour tomorrow.
Yeah. I can't believe it's only an hour to wrap all this up.
But like I said, I think with this, with these last two episodes, I think there were such huge chunks that really shaped the story that I don't see a problem with it being wrapped up in an hour.
Yeah. Well, we did get huge chunks of stuff explained to us and little breadcrumbs that were laid, we should maybe have more, but with both of our experience with J.J. Abrams and particularly yours with Stephen King, maybe we should have been more observant that there's no detail in a J.J. Abrams or a King story that is meaningless. And he's everything that the kid said since we met him, none of it was has it begun yet? Are you him? You don't really know what's happening here. All that stuff I let sort of slip away from me, and maybe that was really the important stuff. The clues were there. The clues were there that he's not the devil. I'm also interested in also how this relates to all the evil that happens in Castle Rock and how both Lacey and Deaver, Reverend Deaver, were all this evil happens here and people are killing each other and blah, 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 and this town is cursed and, using almost really the same words. How does that relate to the schisma or to any of this?
I don't think it relates to any of this. I don't think it has anything. This is just another freaky thing in Castle Rock. The schisma might play a part in it. But as far as the Deavers go, another story of Castle Rock as far as those two characters are, those that family is concerned. They're just more collateral damage of this town.
They're basically two guys who are wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah. Yep.
Caught up in this creepy ass town where all this creepy evil happens in this town, maybe because of the schisma, or maybe it's just a rundown town where bad shit happens. Like in poor rundown towns all across America, people are committing crimes and,
I mean, the fact that I, you know,
and the fact that they both go to the psych ward and a fire breaks out and kills people both for both of them, like,
yeah,
I don't know if that's
that was kind of crazy.
Is that really? Yeah, but
else,
I mean, is that really?
One, here's the thing, though. There's one factor that, unless you know the history of Castle Rock, because there hasn't been anything in all these years and everything, and that was the last big thing to happen to Castle Rock was Needful Things.
Yeah.
The Needful Things store came. Leland Gaunt was a demon of some sort, some kind of evil, whatever his case, you know, whatever he amounted to be. He sold his wares, made people go a little nutty. The town lost its shit, and then Ace blew up the town.
Right.
Ace, and that was Gaunt's entire goal, was to drive people nuts. You know, that, I mean, you know, how much are you willing to pay for your most prized possession? You know,
mm-hmm.
He had, you know, one person poisoned a dog to get what they wanted most. You know, and it looked, because that person whose dog was poisoned this guy kept saying, your dog keeps going, don't come to my yard again, I'm going to kill it. And then the dog turns up dead, so she automatically assumes that this guy did it, who had nothing to do with it, and she goes and kills him because she thinks he killed his dog, you know, and that was the whole point of Needful Things, was just to create massive chaos. In the chaos, the character of Ace from Stand By Me, who's just a washed up
jerk.
Nobody, because he hasn't been, he never turned into anybody because he was such a jerk in Stand By Me, or The Body was the book, and Gaunt convinces him to blow up the town, which he does. He sets explosives all over Castle Rock, and that's, you know, Castle Rock was no more, really. What we see here in 2018 is what's left of Castle Rock, and I mean, you can see Molly is trying to rebuild the town, you know? So perhaps part of the reason that nothing's happened in 27 years has a little something to do with Needful Things, in that all the evil that was plaguing this place kind of, I don't know, got bored with the town because there are only a handful of people left. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
So.
So all that is making me think about that scene where we saw Tracy, the nephew of Jack from The Shining, the niece, the blonde girl, Tracy, her name?
Jackie.
You know, there we see that scene where Jackie's telling the kid, like, nothing good has happened here in so long. This is a boring town. Like, it's making me think of all that you're describing happened 27 years ago, maybe.
Right.
Like, was that a 27-year cycle, or...
It was 27 years ago with that, but Needful Things actually took place in 93, so it's been 25 years since Needful Things.
All right, so the kid was already, like, locked up by then.
Yeah.
So, all right,
here's the problem. I mean, the schism seems to be, within this story, the schism could be the excuse, you know, for the whole problem. I mean, seeing the ghosts of Castle Rock, as I put it, when you cross over between these alternate realities, almost makes me wonder if the schism isn't the voice of God, but the voice of the ghosts, which is why it screws people up even worse. And I hate to think that actually the schism is responsible for all this stuff in Castle Rock, because what do you do with season two if you know it's causing the problem?
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure where that's going to go exactly.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll find out tomorrow.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess we'll find out tomorrow. We're going to find out. All right. I mean, who knows? It just blew our minds so much this week. Like, who really knows where it could
yeah.
be going, right?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
The episode before the finale was a huge game changer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and something I didn't mention that I got a kick out of was Dennis is the sheriff in the Ultimate Reality.
Oh, yeah. Which was kind of, like he said, he wanted to be a cop, right? Like, he went into corrections
yeah.
probably because he wanted to be a cop.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And I thought it was funny when Molly died, which she was obviously stabbed. She wasn't shot.
Yeah,
was,
I think that girl stabbed her.
I don't know why, but I laughed. Yeah, I thought so, too. I laughed so hard, though, because he's like, I shot in the air. How did I shoot her?
Right. Yeah, I fired a warning shot. How did I? Yeah. Because that girl stabbed her. We just didn't see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was pretty sure that was what happened, too. All right.
All right.
So I guess we'll watch tomorrow and we'll talk about it
next week.
Be back
here next
week. We'll hopefully have Jamie back. And,
yeah.
Talk about everything else. And she'll fill us in on what she can about Midnight Texas. And
yeah.
Hopefully something's starting soon because her show's getting shorter and shorter.
I know, right? That new show Manifest starts in about 2 weeks. I don't know if we're really intending to cover it. Maybe we'll give it a watch. I mean, the Walking Dead, we're not going to pick up.
I'm definitely going to watch Manifest. I'm intrigued by it, even though people are already calling it, oh, it's the next Lost. No, it's not. Shut up. Stop doing that. The curse of shows.
Yeah. Don't say it. Don't
curse
say
shows
it. Yeah.
Say it's the next Lost. To happen to Happy Town.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we'll pick up a few things, I guess.
All right.
So, all right.
Thank
have
you
a good week.
We'll do it again next week. Karen, you have a good week, too. And without further ado,
I will.
Thank you and good night.
Good night.